You're sitting in this bar. Matthias is leaning back, kind of trying to escape things more than anything else. And more than anyone else, he's inhaling from what he has created with this heroin that Thea has been given by her dead friend. And suddenly, he is just there. Right next to you. In the corner sofa by your table. It's hard to see him clearly in the dim, smoky light in the room, but his bearing somehow still manages to be overpowering, almost majestic. He is tall and slim, dressed in coarse grey clothes under a greatcoat. His skin is almost ebony black. His hair is steel grey and combed back neatly. One of his eyes is hidden beneath a thick milk-white membrane, and he's looking down into a drink that also is there. And you're both kind of torn out of your reveries and memories as you suddenly are sitting next to the grey man. He hardly looks up at you as he speaks. This cycle has not been kind to you, I see.
This cycle? What do you mean, cycle? Has this happened before?
Many times before. And he squints at you, examines you. You feel like you're being properly scrutinized. You have not started to remember then. Do you not remember any of the times? And Matthias, leaning back. Yes, they do. They do remember. They've seen it.
I grind my jaw a little, lean forward, and I say, sure, I remember some stuff, but who the fuck are you to start with? And how can we kill that man? That's what's important here, okay?
I am just a visitor of this club. This bar, this place, this refuge. I like to come here as it brings me away from my other troubles. I've seen you before as different people. You are Thea and Sin. You and your kin, and he nudges towards Matthias, are not from this world. But you have all forgotten your home. You have lived and died many lives in this prison, and your father is Arthur, the one that seeks to destroy you. Your mother, Amira, has forgotten her past, just like you.
And what about Lysian?
Lysian I have not met, but I believe she is one of your kin as well.
Yeah, okay.
How do we find Arthur then? How do we stop him?
He will find you. You cannot kill him. You cannot stop him. You have tried before many times. Last time we met in Tangier, you had spoken with your aunt, Delirium, your mother's sister. There was a plan to break the cycle. And he looks at you both. Clearly, it failed. However, there is an occultist named Leslie Mulder that might be of help.
How do we find her?
Leslie Mulder is a magician that lives here in New York City, in Greenwich Village to be precise. She has her own reasons to stop your father. I have had some dealings with her, but don't know if she can be trusted. Clearly, she sees some greater gain in possibly helping you. And he turns to you, Sin. Unlike you, I shall remain nameless. My birth name wields nothing but pain, so don't bother asking.
Sure, whatever. Fine. What about... Mother? Do you know where she is?
Amira is your mother. But she has a human name now, a name I do not know. She, too, lives within this city. You always seem to start your circle near each other. Throughout her numerous incarnations, her eyes have remained deep green. She has a sister, your aunt that I mentioned, who lives somewhere between the worlds. That is Delirium. That's her name. Arthur will try to kill your mother first, but it is not always he manages to do so. His heart still holds love for her. And as you think about your mother, as you hear her name, it's almost like something numbing and twisting is happening at the back of your head. It's like a root growing, like your skull slowly breaking, like a seed trying to make its way out. And you feel a connection. You feel a connection to something here in the city that you haven't felt before. It's very painful.
It is painful. It's like love. I didn't love my actual mother. I didn't even know who my actual father was, but now I love this person. That's the only person I've ever loved. I've loved them. And it hurts. It's weird. It's part of me is telling me it's a weakness, but I don't care on this occasion. Loving this woman is fine, but I need to... No, we need to find her. We need to save her. We need to kill him. This magician, spooky lady, I don't know, fuck. So fucking stupid, but okay. Okay, you hear that, Faye? We go find her, and there you go, she could do something.
He very slowly sips his drink, seeing the two of you talk together. What are your thoughts, Thea, as you hear this?
I'm trying to make sense of it all. I have a father. And Sin wants to kill him. But I can't kill him. I mean, was that what we tried to do before?
I remember that time in Paris, right before the revolution. That was another time you tried to kill him. Different times, different places, different bodies, same souls.
What if this is a different one then? What if we do things differently? What if we don't try to kill him? He's our father. I mean, surely. He must feel something for us, or... I mean, certainly we can feel something for him.
I feel nothing for him, Feyo. He's the one who's killing us, don't you remember? Cycle! He keeps fucking killing us!
Yes, but none of this matters, right? It's just a cycle. We just... We're born and die and reborn, and what if we can get back to him? What if we can make him remember?
It's an idea. He seeks out those who have betrayed him. That is part of it. Hunt. Most of them he murders to still his hate. Some of them maybe like this. One you mentioned, grovel and beg, and they become part of the pack, and they join him in his hunt. It is fueled by hatred and vengeance. It all ties back to betrayal in its past, ages ago.
What betrayal was that?
I have yet to discover what you did to provoke his anger.
But you have to end that cycle then. You've seen the visions, you've seen how many times this has happened. You want to keep repeating this sin? Forever? Is that what you want?
No, I want to win. That's what this sorcerer lady's gonna do.
But why is this time going to be any different?
Because this time we know it's coming. We didn't before, maybe.
Or maybe we did, and maybe we're repeating exactly what we did then. Why does violence have to be the answer?
Because that's the way the world works.
But the world isn't fucking working, is it?
Well, that's this world, not the real world. I kind of clutch my head a little. I'm full of conflicting emotions right now. I'm really angry at my sister. I get what she's saying, but she doesn't get it. It's, you don't just talk things out. I've done too much to give up and be what? Go back to him. I say this aloud. I say, I can't just go back to being... What? You want us all to be a... Serve him! Serve the king! I'm the fucking king, not him!
As you say that, why don't you roll me 2d10s?
14.
And as you do this, you point viciously at Thea, and your fingers just don't form claws, but they all become points, like pointed. How your whole hand just transforms into strong, small points, and you just claw the table with them like you were able to hold on to anything you wanted to. It's a contrast to almost what you're saying, but you do feel like a king.
Yeah, I do. I scratch at the table. Fia, we're gonna go talk to this woman, alright? Hey, you know what? Okay, if she says it's useless, but if she doesn't, we're doing it. I'm the leader.
We can hear what she has to say. I'm all right with that.
Matthias is lifting his head from having had it hung back out in a daze, and he just asks, why are you doing this? Who are you to help us? And the gray man answers, I sympathize with your pain. What good does it bring to this world to be caught in this destructive cycle that you have? And they stare at each other for a while.
Matthias has a point. You're doing this all for free. What's your price? Come on, there's always a price. There's something in it for you.
Well, all I can say is that if Leslie gets what she wants, I might get something I want as well. If she doesn't, and you stop the cycle, then... I mean, if you stop it in any other way, it will still be good. Arthur is not a happy being. What he does, what this cycle does to many of us, brings nothing but pain and suffering.
Yeah, sure. Pain and suffering. All terrible.
He nods as if you said that with the purest intent. And then he hands you a card. Just puts it over the table, and it says Leslie Mulder, psychologist, medical psychologist, and it gives you an address in Greenwich Village and a number as well.
I stand up, I look to Feyre. Well, you want to ring the lady first? I say we just go.
But yeah, let's just go.
Yeah, sure. Come on, Matthias. Let's get out of here. Let's go visit a magical wizard. Fucking shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, sure. Okay, magical wizards. Whatever.
And the grey man shrugs, but he wishes you good luck as you go. And Matthias struggles to stand for a bit, but then starts... making his way, collecting as much as he can from what he has put on the table, and brings it with him so that you can start heading out. You come out into the midnight air of the city, and of course the city never sleeps. There are cars honking, there are strong scents and sounds, and everything seems so vivid. Whereas for you, Thea, you're starting to slowly come down, and you are starting to lose a bit of the euphoria. You see graffiti painted on the wall. It's a cheetah holding a police officer's head with helmet between its jaws. And you smell a scent of blood from the mouth of it as you just look at it. Looking at the card that you have seen, it says 44 Carnaby Street.
Excellent. Well, let's drive straight there. I get everyone in the car. I begin driving. I turn on some music to calm myself because Fia pissed me off earlier, but that's okay. she does that. That's fear. I forgive her. It's funny. I don't forgive people normally. Normally, if someone pisses me off, I fucking let them have it. But with fear, I let it go. It's okay. She's just stupid sometimes. It's not her fault. She doesn't get it. She doesn't get it that sometimes you need to be firm with the world. You can't just always dance around and sniff the flowers.
So Sin is kind of biting his tongue at this time. What about you, Thea?
I just know one thing, and that is that I don't want this cycle to continue being repeated. It must not be repeated. It's just unending suffering. And this cycle, if this isn't the worst that I've gone through, then could it get even worse next time? This has to stop. We have to stop it now.
Yeah, you do. You arrive at 44 Carnaby Street. It's a old five-story brownstone building with a cracked and sooty exterior. Not charming, but what is? And according to the tenants' lists that you find, you see that Leslie Mulder, doctor of psychiatry, lives on the fourth floor. And there you able to make your way up through an oppressively small elevator, or if you choose the creaky wooden staircase, either way, you get up there and you reach the apartments. Next to a plain wooden door is a brass plaque with Leslie Mulder's name and profession in ornate lettering. The time is about one, close to half past one. What do you do?
I pace a little, and then I look to Faye.
Well, we need to talk to her. I'll just go in. I'll ring the bell or knock. We need her attention, and I'm sure she'll be expecting us.
Ding dong. It's a bit of silence. A bit more silence. About 20 seconds passes. Nothing happens.
I'll try to open the door.
Doesn't open. But after a few more seconds, it is opened from the inside by a man dressed in a dark blue velvet suit. His wavy hair is cut in a page. His face is powdered white, and he wears a pair of white silken gloves and a big smile.
Yes.
We want to meet with the doctor. I think she'll be expecting us.
Do you have a booking? A meeting? Yes.
No, but we really need to see her.
He looks really excited. You? I think I've heard of you.
And he is acting very strangely, like something about your presence makes him incredibly excited, and he starts turning around and starts walking down the hallway without another word.
I step forward quickly, throwing the door open, and say, "What expected then, I guess, whatever. Fucking weirdo."
He's walking along the hallway and it's touching the walls as he's going.
Yes, we're supposed to be here. Sin, we're supposed to be here. This is part of the cycle. We just have to find the point where to break it.
And so you enter a large, what appears to be a waiting room. And he offers you to take a seat while he will call the doctor. Might be in the middle of something. You never know. You never know.
Oh, of course. We'll wait.
And there you are in a sparsely decorated... Well, the things that do decorate this waiting room are bizarre. Objets d'art. But perfectly respectable. There's music by Vivaldi playing over hidden speakers. A bit too loudly, really. It's almost hard to make a conversation. Burgundy wallpaper sets off several large, beautiful paintings of plump, naked women. On one wall is a heavy grey steel door, securely locked. The peculiar doorman is walking down a wooden... a corridor through a wooden door in the opposite wall. Near the entrance, there's a tall coat stand. You can hang your jackets. It's carved from dark wood and in a very unusual design. Long knotted spikes extend out of the lavishly decorated pole. The strange ornamentation resembles a large, tangled crowd of naked people frantically trying to climb to the top of the pole, where a beautiful woman stands holding a disfigured child in her thin arms. There's no one else here. Do you do anything while you wait?
I pace about, looking at the weird shit on the walls, a little confused. I say to Faye, I guess she likes her artwork.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Vivaldi goes on, playing through the four seasons. At the far end of the room, there's a burgundy leather sitting group and a glass coffee table. The table is covered with magazines and a large bowl of fruit that look quite tempting to you. And as you are waiting, you hear scraping noises. You can almost hear them through the music. Hisses, scrapes, sound of clinking glass and feet. And very distant, muffled screams of pain. It's strange, almost oppressive feeling in here, but in a different way from the bar.
I grab a fruit. I bite down into it.
It's delicious. It's delicious. The juices run down your cheek. It's really good.
And I look at Faye and I say, let's just sit and just wait. A lot of things here have me on edge. A lot of things once would have seemed to me really strange, but as this change is coming over me, I'm starting not to really care. I don't care that there's someone somewhere screaming in pain, so fucking what? I just want what I want, and I want to get out of here, this place with the stupid music and stupid artwork. Like, even when I was king, I didn't really like this. I liked being out in the open. I liked places with people, not just stupid little pumped-up penthouses like this. No, this is stupid. And Fair could easily see my irritation at my surroundings.
Yeah, we'll just wait. I'm sure she'll be here soon.
And in about 10 minutes or so, after waiting, having a bit of more fruit, he comes back, the butler or whatever it is, with a powdered face and the white gloves. Ah, yes, kindly follow me, kindly follow me.
I follow.
Yes, me too.
And he leads you down a long hallway of dark oak doors. And, what stabilities are you currently at?
I'm at neurotic, -5 stability.
I'm at -6 anxious.
Sin, you see an interesting woodcutter's axe hung up on a plaque on the side of the wall. Interesting. Random. Very random. It has a little plaque that says Woodcutter's Axe. But on the other side, which you don't see, that Thea sees, there's a door standing wide open. Within the chamber beyond sits a naked man bound with leather straps to a heavy oak chair. His thin, worn body is badly beaten and it jerks in spasms, and his head lolls on his chest, back and forth. The man raises his head just as you look at him, revealing a swollen and pained expression on a bruised face, covered with festering wounds. He's trying to open his eyes and feebly hisses, barely articulate stream of profanity. Fucking kill it, please. And then the door is slammed shut in your face.
What? What even is going on here?
This way, this way. Here it is. And you reach the far end of the hall. It's a large room. And as you step in, you notice that it's pleasant and light. Grey leather furniture, a beautiful yucca tree, a cocktail cabinet, and tall bookshelves containing what appears to be psychiatry textbooks. On the walls, there are numbered prints by Salvador Dalí. And behind a desk, as you enter, the desktop glinting brightly with the overhead lights, you see a woman dressed in a dark blue pants suit, a thin, pale face, and her fair hair is tied into a tight bun on the top of her head.
Ah, well, how lovely to see you. Come in, come in. Here, here, have some refreshments. How about something to drink, yes? And she comes around and, rises to shake your hands.
Oh, I'll shake her hand. No, thank you. I'm all right.
Sure, I'll have a drink.
Very good. And and she goes over to the cabinet and she helps, she pours you whatever it is that you want from it.
Let's cut to the chase a little bit. I have been expecting you to show up. My, you seem to have been through some quite rough times recently, haven't you?
You can say that.
Let's just say things aren't going according to plan, but hey, you are the one who's gonna set everything back on track, right?
Yes. Yes, that's me. That's exactly what I'm gonna do.
And she hands you the glass and she goes back to sit behind the shiny desk.
The two of you, the siblings, I know that you are special. I know that you are prisoners of sort, yes? And you originally, I believe, came from someplace else. And I also know that you've been hunted for quite a time, right? Yes?
That's about the gist of it. How the fuck do you know all that? Did you look in a crystal ball with your magic-y magician powers?
That's actually really funny. No, I don't have any crystal ball. I'm a psychologist. Oh, is it the gray man? Did he? Oh, he said. You know, it's hard to grasp some of these things. I work in a particular field of psychology. A lot of hypnosis involved. And, I'm trying to do my best to help people. And some of these people, they come to me and they tell me about other things that are troubling them. And I know our mutual acquaintance is quite troubled about you always coming back. Not to bother him, that's not how he phrases it, but coming back with your suffering and your cycle, and it's a fascinating subject. Especially that of your father, well.
And, Thea, as you are hearing this, you feel something kind of tickling in your head.
What is that? I've felt so many things, but I think the drugs are finally starting to wear off a little bit. What's going on?
Yeah, that's slightly different. That's slightly different.
I now understand how your father came into this world from the great beyond. Yeah? It was through you.
And she gestures at you.
You see, he is trapped far beyond his realm. But your dreams, yes, he found you in your dreams. Must have been a decade ago, at least.
And you feel it even more. There's a chilling sensation, as if something is physically moving around and building pressure inside your skull.
I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
Oh, don't worry.
I stand up and I begin backing away. No. I never gave you permission. I never gave you permission for that.
She holds up her hand, and you can feel the pressure ease.
I'm sorry. I'm just very curious to find out about your father. Arthur, I think his name is. Arthur, is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Arthur, yes. Now, if you'll allow me to just dig a little deeper, maybe we can find out what memory you hold and what we can all gain from putting our perhaps repressed memories out on the table.
Why do you need hers? I've got repressed memories, probably, maybe. You could do it on me, I don't fucking care, but leave her alone.
She looks at you very patiently. And you also feel a little tickle in your head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. But you see, you haven't met him. Not in this cycle. But she has. And she nudges towards Thea. You have met him.
I don't trust you. You tried to dig. You tried to take these memories without my permission. I
know.
And I begin backing further away.
Please, don't be like that. Take it easy. I'm not doing anything. See, no. You feel it, right? I'm not doing anything. And you... No, it's almost not there in your head. Almost not there.
And I begin running. I'm getting the hell out of here.
I growl and attempt to intercept Feyre before she gets out of the room.
Then I will use my sixth sense to act first in a threatening situation. I am getting out of here.
I'm going to make it like this, because what I think it's interesting. You are not able to run out of the room, but you don't get tackled, almost, by your brother, who is really wants to stop you because he believes that there is some kind of key here. So, he ends up in front of you, and you're trying to duck and weave and bob to one of his sides, but he's in your way. He's not going to be able to grab a hold of you. You're too fast for that. But you have a situation here where he's in your way. And what do the two of you do?
Get a grip!
Get out of my way. I don't trust her. Come on, let's just go.
I promise I want nothing bad to happen to either of you. And believe me when I say I don't really want anything too bad to happen to Arthur as well. I would like to capture him. I feel he would be a very interesting subject, let's say.
What, for you to experiment on? I will try to make a move if Sin isn't gonna relent.
I step out of the way. I'm not in the mood for dealing with Feyre right now.
Then that's my chance. I'm getting the hell out of this weird place. I'm getting away from this magician. The one who's trying to enter where she's not been given permission to go. Who doesn't listen to what I say. I want nothing to do with her.
As you're running, there's a thing. There's a thing. A slimy, pulsating blob that is covered in blood. It oozes black smoke. You're holding this in your hand. You're not running, you're standing still. You're holding this in your hand. It's as strangely translucent as if it's not part of this reality. And with a slimy sound, the outer membrane breaks and opens, and you see something that could be skin, but it looks like an old tree's bark, full of holes where tiny bugs and larvae house their eggs. There is a cry like that of an infant. And you're running through the corridors again. You're running. And, Sin, what are you doing?
I let out a low growl of annoyance, and I say, look, my sister is an idiot and a coward, okay? Just let her run. You got me! You tell me! Capture him! Fucking brilliant, yes! How?
I will need to make a little pact. I will need you to supply me with a bit of blood from each of you, and also from your mother. I don't know where she is, but if you trust your instincts, I'm sure you'll find your way to her. That is what I'll need. And I'll need her, just so I can find out a little bit more about Arthur's nature, because she has, I believe, given birth to him into this world.
What?
An act of violence so vile that it is what he needed to break through the outer walls and come here. That is what I speculate has happened,
but I need proof and I need to know what exactly I'm dealing with before I can start the preparations. So that's what I need. And she hands over a box to you with clinical supplies here. And if you need somewhere to stay, just call my number. I'll arrange for something for you. You'll need to draw blood from each of you, and your mother included. You need to bring it back. Then I can start preparations. That's all.
I snatch the medical equipment off this woman. I frown heavily. Why the fuck do you need everyone else's blood? Why do they all need to be involved? I'm the one who wants to capture him, not them.
Well, then maybe we want the same things. I would like to capture him and hold him. If I hold him, he won't be able to break out of this cycle. Now, you may still be reborn as a new life whenever this... She tries to not look at you with disdain. Whenever this life ends, you may be born again. You're stuck here in your cycles, but you will not be chased down, and you'll be able to live a normal life. While he is in my trap. How does that sound?
I shrug and turn away, and I say, I don't fucking know. Maybe we'll see you again, maybe we won't. I'm going now, okay?
And she smiles, and she doesn't object at all. But she looks hopeful as you exit the door. And Thea, you're outside the building. You've run down the wooden creaky stairs, and you're down there, and... Yeah. Matthias isn't there. You don't see him around you.
He must be here somewhere. He was supposed to wait. Right? I'll yell his name. Matthias, where are you? Matthias?
And as you're walking out quite rushedly out of the clinic, Sin, you feel how your skin is starting to itch. Something is wrong with Matthias, and you're both feeling this now. You see flashes of images coming from the side of your mind. You see a alley. So you see him running. You see him trying to climb up an old fire escape. You hear his labored breathing as he's running. You feel his panic. Something is right behind him. Right behind him. And then there is pain. And there's a desperate scream. And I'd like you both to roll to keep it together as you realize the threat that Matthias warned you about is very real and very near.
14.
7.
Let's start with Thea. You're screaming his name. You can almost feel which way he's run, like which alley he's gone down through. How do you react?
I become panicked and scared. We can't lose him. This might really... No, I don't even want to think about what could happen here. I have to find him. So yeah, I become scared. And we'll take a stability loss.
And you, Sin, you are also just flying down the stairs as you feel this and you feel the panic. And then something falls down on you and you are pressed into the ground hard. You feel like a colossal knee is just lodged in between your shoulder blades and you cough and lose your breath. It's pushed out of you for a second and a large shadow falls over you. It's as if it was made of cold lead. You're pressed down to the ground and the fear creeps into you. An unspeakable terror that makes it impossible to think. You just want to crawl away. You want to beg for mercy. You can't stop and your cheeks get warm and wet, and you can't stop the tears, and you hate yourself for being so fucking weak, for being so fucking pathetic. You will die, and you cannot even do it with dignity. And the shadow is there, and it comes closer. What do you do?
I just wail meekly. No! Fuck! Fuck! And am frozen with fear.
The weight of it is so crushingly heavy that you can only and barely gasp for air. There is a snarling sound, and then a sigh of disappointment from the shadow just before it disappears. You can breathe again. You feel that you are warm and wet. Urine soaks your pants, streaming down into your shoes as you slowly are able to rise from the floor.
I stagger against something that can hold me up, and I punch the wall. I just yell out, "Fire!"
And you lose 2 more stability. Thea, before you know it, you are running. You're running through side alleys, and you are zigzagging between honking cars, even though it's quite late now and traffic is not as intense. You just know where he is. You just know where he is. And there, up, left, and then through the right. And then you see it. Into one of the New York side alleys among garbage. You see that fire exit. You see that stairs leading up to it. You see a hand hanging, clutched onto the ladder. And it ends with the lower arm just beneath it. You see Matthias' body ripped apart. Limbs been torn off, his entrails pulled out. Half his face has been bitten straight off, like it's been eaten or gnawed off. And red leaves circle around him, slowly moving in the wind, as if they've been scattered there. You can roll again to keep it together.
14 again.
You see the remains of your friend. He was just here. Why didn't he follow you up? Why didn't he just come along?
I'm starting to lose it completely here. It's my fault. It's all my fault. I'm guilt-ridden. This is all me. He's dead because of me. Because of my weakness and because of ever meeting me. He should never have met me. Then he would be alive. And then... it wouldn't be like this.
You find yourself slowly trying to put his entrails back into his body. You're stroking him, what's left of his face, blood smearing across it, the empty eyes. And you remember how you hold a nest of branches and leaves. You are hushing it as if it was a baby. One of the branches has a thorn that stings you, and you pull back. And then you start hearing purr. A soft purr. Soft, ever so soft purr. And down to your right, there's a little ginger cat that you know. It's Smudge. She is approaching you, and purring gently, stroking your side, getting even stains of blood on her fine coat. And then there's another, and another, and another, and many more cats. And you are surrounded by them, and they are stroking themselves against you. And as you sit there, as you cry, they meow, and they are saddened with you. But as you do this and as they are there, you regain 2 stability.
I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this. They are here. They are here.
They are. And you see Sin standing a bit away, having followed you to the alley. Sin, you hardly remember making the move, but there you are, and you see her. You see Matthias, you see the cats, and you are filled with a large sorrow.
I am. I know it's him. He was always so stupid, so weak, but he didn't have to be. I could have taught him better, but I never had the time. Never had the time. He never had the time. He didn't listen. And now he's gone, and I don't blame him. He was right. I can't kill Father. He's too powerful. He's too powerful. I can't just win in a fair fight. I need to cheat. Yeah, it's fine. Sometimes cheating is fine if you means you win. And I'm weak and embarrassed and ashamed, and I see Feyre, and I want to yell at her, but I can't properly yell. It kind of just comes out as a strangled moan. Well, what's your plan, Feyre? Oh, killing Father, that's bad and wrong. So what? We just let this happen? We just wait for him to kill us then? That's your plan? Is that it?
We need to break this cycle, Sin. We need to put a stop to all this.
And I can do that. I have a way. That stupid woman has a way. But what's your way? How's it better than mine?
We need to make him stop. He's our father.
How are you going to do that? Invite him over for tea?
I don't know, but when we meet him, we need to reach through to him. We need to make him see. We need to make him understand. We need to break this cycle. Nobody wants this. I can't imagine he wants it any more than we do.
He's killed Matthias. He's killed Matthias!
Yes, he has. We must ensure that he never does so again.
I hold up the weird medical syringe thing. I take your blood, his blood, my blood and mother's blood. That witch up there puts him away. That stops it. That's an actual fucking plan. Your plan is, oh, maybe he'll just be nice when he comes to kill us. You really? Why the fuck should we go with that plan?
And as you're screaming and as you're shouting there, some of the cats come over to you too and they start stroking themselves against your legs.
I sigh at them. Don't have the energy to bat them off. I don't really care. Suppose they're okay. You need to give me something, Feyre. You can't just say, we're going to talk to him. You need to right now actually have something.
I don't. But I don't trust her. I definitely don't trust her. We've tried this before, I'm sure. I can't prove it, but we must have. We must have tried some cockamamie plan like this, tried to fight him. Every time we've tried to fight him, and every time it's led to this, to the same thing. Why don't we try something else?
You don't have anything to try, you stupid... You're going to have one chance. I hold up my hand. You have one chance, Feyre. Do it your stupid way. And if we survive it, and it hasn't worked, we do my way.
In the next cycle, we can do things your way, Sin. I say, and I laugh at how ridiculous and strange and absolutely out of this world all of this is. Yes, next time I'll listen to you.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the 2022 Cultmas scenario, Together Unto Death, for Cult of Indie Lost. Cult of Indie Lost is published by our friends at Helmgast, who have also kindly sponsored the series. The music was made by Atrium Carceri, featuring a number of collaborations with other artists, and was used with permission from their label, Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient. We'd like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoy-Schaubert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Bob Lange, Julian, Cameron, Xavier, and Anton for their generous support. And we'd of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want to support our work, please check us out on Patreon. You can get access to bonus campaigns for Cult of the Lost and Coriolis there, as well as get early and raw access to all of our recordings. You can also hear your name read on the show as the Champion of the Red Moon, as well as play Cult with us. Most importantly, that support is what keeps the show going, so do check us out there. Thank you again for listening, and remember, death is only the beginning.